is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is business. This is Always in Fashion. I think a lot about where my ideas come from to start each week's show. Where is this topic going to show up from? This week, you couldn't help but get caught up in politics. Frankly, in Trump's America, it's Trump 24/7. And that dominated the news and the media and our lives this week. And politics led me to think and develop our show and conversation for tonight. So good evening, and let's get into it. I, like most Americans, are frustrated by our government, but in particular, the politicians representing us. I would think or say disappointing, but more accurate, I'm disgusted by what I'm seeing. The Senate themselves, the senators, are admitting their behavior over the Judge Kavanaugh nomination was a disgrace, a national embarrassment. And if they're willing to admit it, that's saying something. Like many of you, let's admit it, I never paid attention to politics. I voted, but I wasn't engaged on a day-to-day basis. In the last 20 years, let's say, the Gulf Wars, terrorism, 9/11, President Obama, President Trump. Not only am I interested, I'm addicted. I love President Obama and what he stood for, yet didn't agree with many of his policies. Many of them I just didn't agree with. And certainly I didn't agree with the way he held court with the opposition party. Opposition party. I thought we were all one country. But then again, maybe I'm mistaken, and that's what got me thinking about all of this. I certainly didn't like the way the opposition party treated President Obama. Honestly, I didn't think he had enough private one-on-one conversations with the Republicans. He just didn't make deals. And then there's President Trump. President Trump loves his policies. I love his policies on the economy and trade. I respect and appreciate how he doesn't back down. He doesn't give in. He gets results. However, I have to admit it's hard to love him. Interestingly, two of my favorite restaurants. I don't like the food, but I appreciate what they do there. Whether I'm on the left side of middle on social issues and on the right, far right for economic issues, I can see good. I can recognize good. I could recognize smart. I know common sense when I hear it. And therefore, whatever makes sense to me, I draw conclusions and process my decisions to the best of my ability and the best of my qualities based on what I hear. The USA, the United States of America, has given us free will. I'm allowed to make my own decisions. God gave us free will, free thought. I can only think what I want. It's nobody else's business. They can't hear my thoughts. Hold that for a minute. Free will. I can make my own decisions in business and life. I can act on those ideas as long as they're legal and as long as they don't endanger my fellow humans. So I ask a question about free will under the guise of America and American politics. I ask this of our politicians. Where is your free will? Where is your free will? Where is your right to make decisions based on what you believe is correct, not the party line? We voted for you to represent us and for common ideas for you to execute. Not the party's ideas, right or wrong, not the party line. But our politicians, no free will there anymore. No, they talk and act and vote the party line. Whatever the party says, whatever the party wants. What the heck is that? No one can agree with every single thing the party, in this case, the political party line. But in America, they do now. They're afraid. They're afraid they'll be ostracized. They're afraid they'll lose their status. They're afraid they won't be sitting on committees. They're afraid they won't get reelected. We didn't hire you and elect you to be reelected. We elected you to do the job that you have right now, the job you're supposed to do. What's with this party line? You're allowed a point of view. It's called free will. But apparently not anymore in politics. This is terrible. I must admit, when I hear them speak the law, these senators are brilliant. I don't agree probably with anything that comes out of Senator Schumer's mouth. I don't like him, per se, for his policies. But when he spoke the other day on the situation with Kavanaugh, I was in awe. He was brilliant. He was articulate. He made his case. And if nothing else, the Republicans deserved and should have listened to what he had to say. I don't believe they did. I have a great sound that I want to play for you. It's mine. Whoosh. You know what that sound is? Jesse, you know.
Goes in one ear, out the other.
Yeah, I didn't introduce Jesse yet, but I needed him for that. Yeah, that's the sound I make when someone says something to me I don't want to hear. In one ear, went out the next. Whoosh. Senators, the Republican senators, didn't listen to Schumer. And then Senator Collins started off very slow, but articulately built a history of Kavanaugh's decisions and how they affected the world, and in great detail articulated and laid out a scope of events, evidence, or the lack thereof, on why she made the decision to vote for Kavanaugh. Forget either one of their decisions. She was brilliant. She was my idol that day. I couldn't believe how smart I was getting, how much I learned about civics and the government by just listening to her. But the Democrats didn't even listen. It's like whatever she said doesn't matter because it didn't go along with the party line. Now, why am I talking politics on this show? I'm not. This is all business. This is a business show, not a political show. Maybe I did just give you a little commentary. But in reality, I just wanted to explain to you what influenced me to come up with tonight's concept for our show, which is the party line. Got me thinking, the party line in business and life? In business and life, it might be the company line. But I will use my free will tonight to create a fun, thoughtful show that we'll call the party line. Now, speaking of free will and a great thinker, my son, co-host, and attorney, Jesse Weber. Jesse, all week long you're on your Law and Crime show. You've been on TV a bunch of times, and you've been talking about Kavanaugh and everything else that's going on. What do you have to say here about this party line nonsense?
Well, first of all, and I'm glad that you said I have free will and it's not just a puppet for whatever you say. Here, you have to say this on tonight's show.
That's not the way we do things.
That's not the way we do things. If anything we discovered in the last
month... Wait, before you go there, if Jesse's not on next week, it's because he didn't toe the party line tonight.
There we go. Thank you for that. If anything the past month has told us, it's how important the law is to be impartial. And I want to just talk about this for a second. So everybody has an opinion on Kavanaugh one way or another. But the thing is, every single person that's talked about it, no one has any idea what happened 36 years ago. Nobody knows. Nobody. Now, this is an unfortunate.
Only the two of them.
Only the two of them.
So not no one. And if you want to talk the law.
Besides the two of them.
That's a smart observation.
Right. Besides the two of them, no one knows. And the problem is we may never know what actually happened. After watching them both, they both were extremely compelling, extremely emotional, and heartfelt. I find it difficult to see how Dr. Ford would uproot her life, create such hardship for herself just to come on in front of the entire world and lie under oath. I don't see that. At the same time, I find it difficult to see a sitting judge also going on the stand and basically committing perjury. I don't see that, either one of them lying. So the thing is this is really not about protecting men or protecting sexual assault. Because if something came out to support her allegations, he would be gone. He would be not only his nomination withdrawn, he could face criminal charges. Not kidding you. He would have been gone. And you even heard President Trump at the very beginning of the before the FBI investigation said, we'll see what comes out, which means he was suggesting if something came out, he would have thrown him out. So everybody was waiting to see this. But we have a system here where it's you are innocent until proven guilty. If you don't like it, that's then move to another country. That's the due process system. That is what is the foundation of our legal system. And we see this constantly. I'm talking the worst of the worst who are put on trial. You have to say, even though you know 100% they did it, well, they allegedly did this. Now, there are questions about that FBI investigation that I even have, why certain people were not interviewed. But you know what? I see a lot of trials where there's questions about an investigation, and maybe people aren't happy with the end verdict, but you have to respect the system. And what the system said was he was still innocent and he was not proven guilty. And so because that's the situation, there was really no grounds to withdraw his nomination. And what's ironic about the whole thing is that despite if you're a Democratic or Republican, the law is impartial. The law stayed the same. And you're hoping that when he goes to the Supreme Court, and I believe he started this past week, that he's going to look at the law and have that be impartial whenever he handles any of these issues.
So the takeaway on America is thank God for our legal system because it treats everyone fairly, or it's supposed to.
Exactly.
Great. Now, how do we turn this into a conversation about our show? Because we're all about business.
Well, I had a question for you as you were talking about it. Does the party line apply to companies?
That's a great question, Jesse. Let's talk the company line because the concept is similar. There are definitely, Jesse, party lines in companies, but with a vast difference. Care to guess the number one difference?
I would think that companies are not democracies.
Boom. Companies are not democracies. There are autocratic. Someone at the top makes a decision, and that's the way it is. People don't get to vote in companies. They don't get to set the direction. They get to listen and toe the party line and be part of a company and its line.
The Immobiliare has its roots in the European tradition. Please try to understand.
I understand. Your tactics are despicable.
Well, that's quite an indictment coming from a Corleone.
Gentlemen. Remember, you're in the Vatican, please.
What is it that you want?
Yes. You will take control. We gladly put you at the helm of our little fleet. But our ships must all sail in the same direction.
Absolutely. All our ships must sail in the same direction. Established companies have a point of view. And a view often set by the CEO. The CEO operates within the confines of brand lines. It's the strategy and positioning. CEO sets the direction, establishes the policy, brings in his executives for their input. They offer suggestions, some I'm sure he or she will take, and cast aside any ideas that don't support the strategy. He or she is the CEO. They make the final decision, period. There's no voting, there's no roll calling, there's no persuading, convincing, cajoling, or threatening. The CEO is the boss, and once the company line is established and said, you're expected to walk that line, no wavering, and not only be conversant, but extol all the virtues of the company line. This is not a democracy. This is capitalism at its best.
I like that. What do you do if you don't agree with the direction?
Jesse, great question.
Because not everybody's going to agree.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Well, you have two choices. First, let me play something for you.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway.
Exactly. You can leave. It's your prerogative. You don't like what's going on? Leave. Business is not a democracy. It's also not a prison. You can walk. However, Jesse, the proper course of action is to accept the choices and strategy laid out and do everything you can to try and make it work and convince everyone that reports to you or that you report to, that you believe in the strategy, you think the strategy is brilliant, and now let's go out and make sure we win and make it work.
But I've heard a lot of people, in my experience, they badmouth the company constantly or their boss. So what do you do about that?
I'll tell you what. Let's take a break, and when we come back, I'll deal with that. Another great question. Back in a moment.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Ripper. This is Always in Fashion. In 1998, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Taryn Rose brought comfort to the world of luxury shoes. She was trained as a surgeon and knew that women deserve to feel comfortable in their shoes and developed shoes that were designed to make the human body comfortable. She partnered with design experts and tech innovation to create a collection of shoes that looked beautiful and yet they were incredibly comfortable. Taryn Rose footwear is about luxurious materials, sophisticated silhouettes, and comfort. They feature innovative comfort technology. Ladies, you want to be comfortable in your shoes. You want to be safe in your shoes. But more importantly, you want to look great in your shoes. Taryn Rose, developed by this brilliant surgeon. The Taryn Rose woman is refined and refuses to sacrifice comfort for style, or for that matter, style for comfort. These shoes are perfect for women who think on their feet, but not about their feet. Discover the latest Taryn Rose collection at TarynRose.com. Taryn Rose, the luxury of comfort.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. We're all business tonight. We're talking about the party line. We're talking about politics and how disgusting it is that everyone just seems to take the party line. No one's listening to each other. But I got off of that and got back into business. And right before the break, Jesse had a question for me, and I want to go back and talk about it because we're talking companies and the company line or their party line. Go ahead.
We were talking about before what happens if employees don't like the way a company direction is going. But then I asked you, what happens if they start bad-mouthing the company or bad-mouthing their bosses? What happens?
I'm really grateful for this question because I have some interesting stories to tell you. What you describe, though, is a person that's poison in a company. But it's like it goes through the veins poison and the whole body gets messed up and you have to root it out.
It's interesting. I say that because I've known so many people who not only badmouth the company, but they badmouth them on the company's internal messaging system. So that every company has like these message boards.
So now are they not just poison? They're stupid poison. When you have people bad-mouthing the company, you have to root them out because it destroys the environment. You have an obligation when you're part of a company to be part of the company line. You have to be willing and able to speak well about the company. That's your job. I don't care if you're a clerk or I don't care if you're the president of the company. When you walk into a store and someone greets you, hello. On my way here tonight, I stopped in Macy's. I wanted to look at a tie. I actually was looking for a tie for you, Jesse. Some of your blue ties aren't dark enough to match your navy suit.
Thank you. I didn't know that. What'd you get me?
I walked into the store. I want to go back. I don't want to carry it. And some guy in the department just said to me, hi. I said, I'm sorry. What did you want? He said, I just wanted to say hello to you. Thank you for being here tonight. When someone does that, it filters throughout the whole organization. Yay for Macy's. But it's always been ingrained in me to do what's right for your company. That's the company line, and that's what you need to consider. So answer to your question, Jesse, if someone badmouths the company, they're poison, and they have to be rooted out. But I have a story to tell you. You want to hear a story?
Of course. And by the way, I don't disagree here, do I?
And what could you disagree with?
Exactly. I'm towing the company line. Not getting rid of me.
Yeah, you're pretty funny. That's great. I want to go back a while when I worked for the Van Heusen Company. I was the president of the company at this time. I worked with the CEO. I went to a company dinner one night. And at the company dinner, we invited all the officers from the New York office and a couple of tables. And I sat at the dais. And luck would have it, two seats down from me was a young man who we had hired a while back and felt that he was the future. He was smart. He was quick. He was hardworking. He was willing to do what it took to be successful, and we wanted to make him successful. And because of that, we moved him from division to division. We moved him to sales. We moved him to merchandising. We moved him to international sourcing. We treated him like a star of the future. He was one of the great acquisitions we made in terms of people, and we made sure we treated him right. We're at the dinner table, and I will talk about this later, I think, but just remember, anytime you have a company dinner to celebrate, to have a good time, you're really there for one reason, to promote the company, period. And I happen to be talking, and I happen to be listening, and I hear him talking next to me. And he starts in, now he's an officer of the company, he's a vice president at the time, and he starts in, and he starts telling the young lady next to him, you know what? My 401k is worth half of what it was. I can't believe I own this stock since I came to the company. It hasn't grown. This company just doesn't have it together. It's doing nothing right. I really don't even know why I'm here. You know, I would think at this point we would come out with a plan and blah, 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 poison. And I'm listening to this. I'm listening to a guy who we went out of our way to treat and protect. And there he is, talking bad about the company. What makes matters worse, when you have initials in front of your name, in this case, VP, when you're an officer of the company, the burden on you to take the company line is even greater. Because as an officer of the company, you're one of the people contributing. If we're doing well, it's because you're there. If we're doing poorly, it's because you're not getting what you need done. We're all a team. And as a team, we're always supposed to take the company line. Make sure that below us, we're providing encouragement, excitement, a future for everyone. Just like the speech I gave a minute ago. I listened to this and I was dumbfounded. But I didn't say a word until the next day. I was in my office the next day. As I said, president of the company, impressive office, impressive responsibility. I called this young man in. Hey, Mark, how are you? Thank you. I had a great time last night. Did you now? I said, sit down for a minute. I have something unpleasant to tell you. So he got a look on his face. I said, we had a problem last night. They said, what was that? I was listening to you. Silence. Silence. You're an officer of the company. I, the CEO, and a couple of other people went out of our way to train you and teach you and prepare you for a great future here. And you're sitting at that table bad-mouthing the company. Now, on a personal note, I'm the president of the company, so if you're bad-mouthing the company, you're bad-mouthing what I'm doing. Well, I didn't really mean it that way. You know, I was just letting off steam, you know, because my 401k, I said, okay, thank you. You were bad-mouthing the company. You're an officer. You should have done that. And no matter what you're going to say to me right now, it's not going to make it any better because you got caught. You heard. You were heard. I ended the meeting. I can only imagine what's going through his head, but he was an arrogant guy, so who knows? But he understood right then and there that he and I had a problem. Later that day, he was in the dress shirt division at the time, one of the largest divisions in the company at Van Hughes, and I called the president into my office. And I said to her, you know that fella, Houston's name? She said, yes. I knew she didn't like him because he was an arrogant guy and thought everything should be coming to him. I didn't really understand that because in front of me he always behaved. You know, I got the good side of him. I said to her, I want you to know as of this moment forward, he's no longer under my protection. And whatever you see fit to do with him, that's up to you. Treat him fairly, only on merit, but I want you to know, whatever you do is up to you. Less than a month, he was gone. And it taught a very important lesson, not to him because he was an arrogant guy, I'm sure. But certainly when you talk about the company line and the party line. Jesse asked me a question, is it different in companies? And the answer, yes, it is. It's not like government. We don't vote. It's not a democracy. You don't get to complain. You get paid to do a job. And one of those jobs you do is the company line. You have a responsibility to make sure everyone around you feels hope and feels that there's a great future in the company. You don't like it, leave. What you don't do is badmouth the company. That's not the company line. That's not the party line. I'll take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand. Made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion and style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant, yet they're for every day. High quality and low maintenance, the true foundation of timeless wardrobe, something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Acquitalia's latest collection at Acquitalia.com or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Acquitalia, A-Q-U-A-T-A-L-I-A. Wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof. The best combination.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
I want to go there. Still, I don't go there. Everybody says, say something, say something, say something, say something, say something, and say something. I don't wanna get caught up in the rhythm of it, but I can't help myself. No, I can't help myself. No, no, caught up in the middle of it. No, I can't help myself.
This is Mark Weber, and I'm thinking about a lot tonight that has to do with the party line, the company line. What do you say? What do you think about? I'll tell you what I've been thinking about. I wanted to talk about the company line for brands. Started thinking about which brands that I would talk to you about tonight. Thought about Calvin Klein. Great advertising right now. Great product. Thought about Louis Vuitton, my former home. Thought about Dior because they have a lot going on. I even thought about Nike. But I'm going to surprise you. I want to talk about Dunkin' Donuts because they were in the news this week. Dunkin' Donuts is changing their name. Hey, let's hear a Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Time to make the donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts are always fresh.
I made the donuts.
We make them at least twice every day.
Time to make the donuts.
Not a few kinds, like supermarkets.
Made the donuts. Time to make the donuts.
But up to 50 new varieties.
Donuts, 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 and donuts. Think about how important donuts are to Dunkin' Donuts. So important that Dunkin' Donuts just changed their name to Dunkin'. Crazy, right?
I think that is the worst decision I've ever heard.
Let's talk about it. It caught my attention, and I thought it was worthy of talking about it, considering we talk about brands. Dunkin'. I don't drink coffee. In fact, here's an interesting thing that most people will never be able to say. I never even tasted coffee. But I'm told that Dunkin' Donuts has great coffee. And therefore, the name Dunkin', I suppose. Dunkin' Donuts stock is performing very well. They're particularly strong in the restaurant sector compared to all their competitors. Now, why? They streamlined their product offerings. The store is easy to navigate and walk through in the environment, in and out quickly. Lots of advertising. Value pricing. It always works, giving the consumer lower prices. And they have great tasting donuts and great coffee. However, thinking the company line, you know, donuts, don't ever forget, the company is all in its name. And the name over the door now is no longer going to be Dunkin' Donuts. It's Dunkin', to emphasize the coffee and downplay who they are. They're a new company line in that store. Dunkin'. Now let's not talk, Dunkin', anymore about the fried dough round things we make infused with sugar. So fattening you can paste them right on your hips, your thighs, or you know what. Let's forget we're helping America become obese. We're Dunkin' now. The new company line? I think it may work. P.S. Did anybody ever notice that nobody's talking about Krispy Kreme anymore?
You mean Krispy Kreme?
Oh, yeah. That's what it's called?
Krispy Kreme is the one that Governor Chris Christie created.
Is that true?
No, but that was a funny joke I think I made.
Well, apparently donuts don't work anymore, and for a good reason. But I was fascinated by the fact that Dunkin' changed their name. And while I'm on the subject of company line or the party line, nothing angers me more than the company line when it's a load of baloney. The spin when it comes to companies. I'm going to talk about JCPenney. JCPenney is in trouble. One of the world's largest, greatest, long-standing retailers may not make it. Their value is down by 95%. I want to tell you about JCPenney because I know a lot about it. I'll never forget I was a young man being told I'm going into my first JCPenney meeting in New York. Mark, this is a very, very important account to us. We do $100 million with them. Wow, that's a lot of business. Yeah, they're an important account. So I went into the meeting. And I'll never forget, the guy heading up the meeting wanted to make a point. And he said, hello, guys. I wanted to start with a story about JCPenney. That's actually John Cash Penney, the founder of the company. And it turned out to be a remarkable story. And he said, as folklore would have it, when John Cash Penney interviewed someone for an important job in his company, he took them to lunch. Why, you might ask? During lunch, he would observe them. And when they ordered their food, and the food came to the table, he watched. And if someone would salt their food before they tasted it, he wouldn't hire them because he felt they prejudged the food. And he didn't want executives prejudging the decisions that needed to be made. He wanted thoughtful, well thought out people. That's the way the meeting began. And then, of course, he said, that's why we want to meet with you. We want to make sure that you understand the kind of company we are. JCPenney, in the early days, was one of the first direct-to-consumer retailers. They were on the internet before there was an internet. It was called a catalog. Before internet, catalogs were the way more people marketed directly to consumers. You would send a book out with pictures and items to their home, determine what and if anything they wanted to purchase, make a phone call to the company, tell them what they wanted to buy, give them their credit card, and the merchandise would be shipped to the home. It wasn't the internet, but they were there, one of the first catalogs. JCPenney business was $1 billion. JCPenney was a remarkable retailer. We did business with everyone, but JCPenney stood head and heels above them. Now why, you might ask? First and foremost, JCPenney cared about their quality. This was a throwback to John Cash Penney. He felt that quality was more important than anything. They were fanatical about quality. They tested fabric. They tested seams. They tested the garment constructions, the fit, washing, everything. They were extraordinary in their devotion to quality. So when people bought something at JCPenney, it performed well and lasted. JCPenney started building their own private labels. You've seen private labels everywhere you go. John Nordstrom and Nordstrom's, Dillard has, Daniel Cremeau, Macy's Alfani. They all have their own stores and their own brands in those stores. JCPenney was one of the first to develop private label. Stafford, St. John's Bay, Arizona Jeans, extraordinary private labels, only because, first and foremost, you were talking about everything, and the minimum they would do at retail was $100 million, $500 million in these labels. So you take into consideration that they were building brands within their own four walls, they cared a great deal about product, and they recognized how important fashion was. JCPenney had it all. They had price, they had a vision, they had quality, and they had the right fashion. So fast forward 30 years later, four CEOs later, they no longer have a catalog. Their brands, private brands, are no longer as strong. They've tried some national brands and haven't done as well. And here they are. 95% of their value is gone. And there are all kinds of reasons. Everyone, four CEOs in the last 10 years, they blame this guy, Ron Johnson, who I met. Ron Johnson came from Apple. He was the head of Apple retail. There's another lesson here for you folks. When you're head of Apple retail, you're brilliant. The minute you leave Apple, you're no longer as brilliant. I mean, Jesse doesn't know very much about retail, right? You're an attorney.
There's wholesale and then there's retail.
I tell you tomorrow, you go to Apple retail, you're a genius. But he had a vision. He had a vision to build beautiful shops in JCPenney. And he started doing it. And when he called and he announced what he was going to do, he said, I will pay for 50% of every shop, and every shop that you put in, I will share my profits with you. This was unheard of. And people flocked to it. And he started to build beautiful JCPenney stores. The problem was he thought he didn't need to give discounts anymore. And that destroyed it and destroyed him. They lost billions of dollars. And on and on and on, and the four CEOs since that time did pretty much the same thing without the shops that they've always done at JCPenney. You know what the definition of crazy people is, Albert Einstein said? Do you know, Jess? What is it?
It's that crazy people do the same thing over and over and expect a different result.
Exactly. So other than Ron Johnson, infamy, all the CEOs do the same thing, and of course it hasn't gotten any better. And I've heard and read all the stories. And in that tonight, the story for this show is the company line and the party line. I've heard all of them. But I'm going to tell you right here and now what happened to JCPenney. My offices at this time were 1290 6th Avenue. That was 6th Avenue and 52nd Street. It was the hub for the world-class brands in New York City at that time. Do you know where JCPenney was located? Right across the street. JCPenney was in New York. They had access to the fashion capital of the world. They had access to all their vendors in New York City so that they could be current. Someone made the decision to move JCPenney to Plano, Texas. Now, I love Texas. I love the people of Texas. But I never heard Plano, Texas in the same sentence with Paris, London, Rome, Tokyo.
Isn't that where, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre happened?
I've never thought of Plano, Texas as the fashion capital of the world. Someone made the decision to build the complex in Plano, Texas. And I had gone there. What a compound. Amazing compound. Comfortable, huge, spacious. Incredible for people to come visit and show their merchandise. But I got to tell you, couldn't take my whole showroom to JCPenney in Plano, Texas. You have to edit it. Otherwise, you're going to have to rent a 747 every time you go there. Plano, Texas is not New York. It's not a fashion capital. And if you ask me, all the excuses, all the party lines, all the company lines seem to have forgotten one thing. You're no longer in the world of fashion. You're on the periphery. And if JCPenney went awry, I don't care what anyone else says, they ought to remember they moved out of New York, out of fashion, into Texas. Great state, great people. But you want to know where JCPenney went wrong? You want to tie it back? There you go, folks. So that's the company line tonight. Be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber from Always in Fashion. I've talked to you before about the Van Heusen Flex Collar shirt, the shirt that moves with you when you move, the unbelievably comfortable Flex Collar expandable collar. I have great news from you from Van Heusen. They have now expanded from Flex Collars to an entire collection of men's sportswear, pants, knitwear, and of course the Flex Collar dress shirt. If you're a casual Friday company, you still have to look right. You're still in business. You're still competing with everyone else around you. Now you could do it in style and comfort. Pants with stretch fabric and stretch technology that allow you to be comfortable whatever your activities are that day. And all the shirts and all the sportswear that you can now buy under that Flex collection are uniquely you. Great looking style, great comfort from Van Heusen, the Flex collection.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber, and it's time to party. Tonight on Always in Fashion, we're discussing the party line. We talk politics, we've talked business, we've talked fashion, we've talked retail. Now I want to talk, if you allow me a little poetic license on party time, and talk about parties. Jesse, you like parties?
Who doesn't? They're called insane people.
How about parties in your companies?
Parties, I think it was about a year ago that you and I went to one of the coolest parties we've ever been to. Mediate, which is part of one of the companies that Abrams Media, where I work for, they hosted a party. I would say it was like the who's who of everyone in broadcasting. It was like the Oscars for people in broadcasting.
Am I allowed to mention them?
Absolutely. Who was
Diane
there?
Diane Sawyer, mm-hmm. Megyn Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Don
Juan
Lemon,
Williams.
Juan Williams, Don Lemon. I think Kimberly Guilfoyle was there.
Yeah, she was.
Bill Hemmer. It was pretty cool.
It was very cool. Very cool. And I was glad to be there. But here's the point. On a night we're talking the party line, the company line, I want to talk to you about parties. I want to talk to you about celebrations. I want to help you here. Are you listening? There's no such thing as a company party. No such thing. When the company throws a party and they tell you it's a celebration, you're not there to party or celebrate. It's the company's way of telling you what's important to the company. It's not free time. It's business time. It's work time. Yes, you're allowed to have a drink in moderation. Yes, you're allowed to smile. But you're not allowed to let down your guard because it's work. It's business. And I can't tell you how many times people make mistakes. Every business party and function I ever went to was for one reason, for the company to allow the associates to recognize how lucky they are working at that company. There's no other reason. Even if they say we want to say thank you for everything you've done, no. The purpose of the thank you is that you stay and you work and you work and you toe the company line. Toe is a strong word. I think you're responsible to have the company line in your head and your heart at all times. You're being paid. It's an obligation. I had a brilliant idea one year that I decided to support the New York Yankees, and I put a billboard in Yankee Stadium right in center field. I've told the story before, and if anybody's interested, write the station and remind me. I'll tell you the story again as to why I did it. It was a marketing genius move, I thought. Coming with that, we had seats, front row seats. 5 years I was there in the center field in Yankee Stadium, and 5 years I had these front row seats. But part of it was each season I would take two of the bigger boxes upstairs that were combined together and invite all our employees there. Everyone was offered an opportunity to come. We took it for 2 days. There was a group that was offered for first day. We had 400 people in our New York office. All 400 were invited. And the purpose was to show them how smart we were being affiliated with the New York Yankees, how smart we are as a company, and how much we value the people that work for us. Great food, great beer, everything flowing. I'll never forget, one of the sharpest young ladies in the retail sector came over to me at one of these functions, drunk as could be. She didn't know how to hold her liquor, and apparently it's not the first time she's done this. Hi, Mark, how are you? Now, first of all, as I just said, you have to know how to behave because it's really not a party. Don't get drunk. You'll never live it down. And I went and sat outside, and sure enough, she came to sit down and started bad-mouthing the people she worked for. There's a lesson here. That's why I'm telling you this story. Be smart. Talking party line, parties are not parties. They're there for you to be smart. I have one other great story to tell you, and it's more uplifting than that one, but that might be the most important lesson. When I was a PVH Van Usen, and we were a conglomerate, and in 1990 or 91, don't hold me, we recorded our first $1 billion year. It was an amazing accomplishment. When I started with the company, I'll never forget, it was a public company. We were doing about $200 million, and here we are doing $1 billion in sales. What was nice about it at the time, one of the founding families, Larry Phillips of Phillips Van Usen, was the CEO. My closest friend at the time was the president. And I was the president of the shirt division at the time. And we had an amazing opportunity to celebrate the $1 billion. Also at the time, there were six living former presidents of the Van Usen Shirt Company. I spoke with the head of marketing at the time, and I said to him, why don't we do something special? He had a great idea. He said, celebrating an American company in America in New York, why don't we take a cruise boat around New York and celebrate? Great idea. Great idea. We invited 400 people to one of those cruise boats with a number of floors. He even had another incredible idea, not just fireworks at sundown. During the day, the party started around 4 o'clock. It went to 8 or 9, I don't recall. He hired jet planes with sky riding that said, congratulations, Van Heusen. Amazing night. I was very proud because I made the decision to invite all the presidents, the former presidents, and have them have an opportunity to speak. And I was most grateful to have the first president I ever worked for, a man named Stan Gillette, who set the role model for me of learning how to speak, present without notes. I learned how to do it because of him when I saw him speak up. He said something very interesting I never forgot. He must have been in his mid to late 70s at the time. And when he stood up, he said, I want to thank you for inviting me. You don't know what it's like, how good it feels to be remembered. I like that. Everyone made a speech, and I made a speech. All the division presidents, the CEO, everyone made a speech celebrating our night, for reaching $1 billion. And while it was a party, why were they there to celebrate? There was only one reason, really, we were there. To share with the troops, to share with the associates, to share with the employees. What a wonderful opportunity, and what a wonderful company Van Heusen was at that time. So even though, under the heading of celebration, even though it was a party, there was only one reason to be there, the party line. This is a great company. You can have a great future. You too can be one of the presidents. You too could be standing up here and making speeches when we reach $2 billion. It's never a party, but it has a party line. With that, I'll be back in a moment.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. There is a brand called DKNY. It's Dunnicarron, New York. I am familiar with it. I spent 9 years there as the CEO. If there's one thing I know about that brand, it's fashion and quality at the highest level. DKNY suits are navies, blacks, grays, charcoals. They're sensational. The shirts are whites and blues and beautiful patterns. The neckwear is very, very simple but very elegant. Right up my alley. I love those looks. And what they do for spring is they put in some shots of great color. Just the right tone of soft colors to make those fashion products and those basic colors look outstanding. DKNY outerwear also is something to marvel at. You have the right piece of outerwear, it makes a statement. Simple, elegant, contemporary, and right, but it tells a story. And DKNY outerwear is amazing. The fall stuff was great, now the follow-up for spring really, really looks sensational. You can find DKNY at Macy's, or online. Go find it. I'm telling you, this is my recommendation. As I said, 9 years working there, I know how good it is.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber, and I'd like to begin with the end in mind. This show tonight, the party line or the company line, had a little bit of everything. It had its fashion, it had its business, it had retail, and it had politics. We've been going through a very difficult time in our government, and our politicians are to blame. It's all about the party line and the lack of independent thinking and the fear of stepping up or stepping out and doing what's right. No one could agree with everything the party says. No one, and yet they do. We deserve better. When we get you alone talking about a subjects, congressmen, senators in particular, you're brilliant people. It's time to be brilliant. There's a party line. I get it. Certain things are revocable. Certain things you should never negotiate away. But you were elected to do the right thing by all of us. You have free will. Why don't you use it? I've had a good time tonight. This is The Party Line. And tonight, on Always in Fashion, Jesse and Mark talked it. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back soon.
Thank you for joining Mark Weber and Always in Fashion. Tune in tomorrow at 5 p.m. This show was sponsored by G3 Apparel and the Van Heusen Company. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.